Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, before we get to the calls, real quick, if you missed it, NFL lunch, Mike McDaniel is out in Miami as the head coach as he was relieved of his duties this morning. Josh Grizzard is out as the OC in Tampa. And so is the quarterback coach Thad Lewis, who was closely related in a working relationship, that is, with Baker Mayfield. But Todd Bowles sticks around, coordinators pay, and there we saw it on the offensive side.
That's an interesting one because, I mean, I'm not really against Bowles. I think he's a fine head coach, but with how abysmal that division has been for years, I mean, it's not just a blip on the radar. Like, we hope the AFC North is a blip on the radar, that it's, you know, as bad as it was this year, but that's been the NFC South for really the past 4 or 5 years, maybe even longer. Might have to go back to Brady. And even when he was there, it was like, all right, Tampa was dominant. Everyone else sucked. So I don't know, man. Like, to me, that should be an easier job, because the talent or the other teams you're competing with aren't that great. But I don't know. This got to be Bowles' last shot.
Well, they got up to a really good start. Baker Mayfield was an MVP-level conversation piece in the first half of the season, along with Daniel Jones, among others. Then Bucky Irving got hurt. Mike Evans got hurt. Godwin got hurt. So they had offensive line was banged up. But once they fell into the funk, they never got out of it. Yeah, they beat Carolina last game of the season, but because their luck just wasn't that good this year. Atlanta beats New Orleans. Hey, Carolina, sub-500 team, still winds up winning the division when they haven't won a game in a few weeks, it seems.
Too little, too late, and all the opportunities, all the other fellow bad teams that they lost to down the stretch, that just one win in that entire time. Just one. One more win would have been enough.
Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Ron in Owings Mills. Ron, thanks for holding. You're with Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope. It's NFL lunch here on The Fan.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Listen, I just want to weigh in and beat the drum for Brian Flores. You got to get that guy. He needs to be number one on the list. And it's not necessarily because of whether he's a defensive or offensive-minded coach. It's just that he's been successful at every level, everywhere he's gone, as a coordinator, defensive coordinator, and as a head coach. So that whole thing in Miami wasn't because he wasn't successful. It was just the opposite. It was because he was successful. So to me, he needs to be top of the list. And one other thing, one other bold prediction for John Harbaugh.
Yes.
If he does get another head coaching job, he will be out of the league in 3 years. And here's why. Because in today's NFL, there's not the CEO head coach anymore. It's a guy who has run one side of the ball before, and he's actively involved in that. And John Harbaugh has never done that. So to me, 3 years, John Harbaugh is successful when he has premier talent around him. He's not going to go to a team that has subpar talent and raise their level. Oh, he's not the piece to get them over the hump. So that's my bold prediction.
All right,
John Harbaugh out of the league, 3 years, and Brian Flores, number one. Thank you so much for taking my
call. Hey, thank you. And Brian Flores is linked to the Ravens, and he's going to interview for the job. I think when he was in Miami, he had a losing record. He was one game below 500, right?
Yeah, I got it here. 2019, they went 5-11. 2020, they actually went 10-6 and still missed the playoffs, so that's kind of unfortunate. And then 9-8 the following year. Overall, 24-25.
Yeah. So he had one bad year.
Mm-hmm.
He left Miami because him and Tua, they made a decision.
Right.
They went with the quarterback over the head coach, and now, you know, they're both gone. In all likely. Well, Flores obviously has been gone, but Tua's out the door too.
Yeah.
And the guy that replaced Brian Flores got fired today.
And as far as the Harbaugh part of it, you know, it does depend where he's going. But I think the caller does make a good point. Like, it is going to be on Harbs not just to find the right team situation, but to build the staff around him. And I know he's been changing coordinators almost every year while he's been in Baltimore these last 18 years, but it's usually just been one at a time, never really both, and then all the underlings under that. So to build something from scratch makes a good point. It could be a very daunting task.
Well, at least he thinks he'll get a job. I will all agree that John Harbaugh's going to go. But will he pick the right situation? Mike in Severna Park. Mike, thanks for holding your own.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Happy Thursday. I just want to give a big shout out to my college degree. Good luck tonight. I like the last caller, what they said. I personally would like to see us maybe get a more offensive-minded coach. I want to know what you guys thought about Charlie Weiss Jr. on Ole Miss, because Trinidad reminds me a lot of Lamar Jackson, and that offense they run is awesome. He's our biggest asset, really, and I think as long as Zach Orr is not defensive coordinator, the defense will be better, and if the GM ever drafts a pass rusher. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for the call. I believe he said the U, his alma mater tonight, taking on Ole Miss, by the way, a game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan, but a pass rusher, lack thereof, that was huge for the Ravens this year in a detrimental, negative way. And Eric DaCosta, 14th pick in the draft. We'll start breaking down the prospects who could be sitting there at 14. It's going to have to be a difference maker. Your 14th pick has going to have to come in as a first-round pick and be a difference maker, not a project coming off of, hey, he's got two sacks, but boy, the upside's there. Now, we need to see sack production right out of the gate.
Which is why we're definitely in sync on the opinion that just trade that pick, plus whatever else it takes to get Max Crosby or that legit pass rusher.
100%.
I mean, why go through the burden of trying to scout and find the perfect young candidate? I mean, I get the appeal. It's a cheaper contract. You get him for 5 years, much cheaper, but you have shown no ability to identify and find that talent on a consistent basis. Just go get the sure thing.
Come back, take more of your phone calls. 410-583-1057 is the number. Then Mike Harmon previews the NFL playoffs with us. Fox Sports Radio.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yo. On this here radio station, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Warren in Owings Mills. Warren, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Happy birthday, Bob.
Oh, thanks, man.
And Nolan, real quick before I get into my thing, I was team Nolan last week when you all posed the question about firing Harbaugh. But I remember I was teasing when Bob was out on vacation that you were doing such a good job that he would be hearing footsteps. Vinny's got to be hearing footsteps because he picked a hell of a time to go on vacation, and you've been doing a great job.
I appreciate it. I did get lucky, though, with the Harbaugh thing. We got lucky here.
Yeah, nobody saw that one coming.
Real quick, I agree with both of you guys. I think they need to get the best candidate, whether it's offensive or defensive. I'm a Flores man. I like it because I'm old school, and I think he has more of an old school mentality. But they need to do the best job, and that's why I hope and I'm thinking that Biscotti will be actively involved because that should be his strength. Biscotti made his billions off of taking a staffing agency for scientific and engineering talent and turning that into a billion-dollar business. So he should have good insight on the interview process. I hope it's him making the decision with little input from DaCosta because, frankly, I think DaCosta should have been gone too. But I'm hoping that, you know, that Biscotti will be actively involved and will make the right choice because I think he did make the right choice back in 2008, and Harbaugh just kind of outlived his welcome. Thanks, guys, and have a good day.
All right, Warren, thanks for the call. And, Warren, I don't know if you heard, we brought this up earlier as we tweeted out Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner, who we're going to have on tomorrow. Steve Bisciotti and Eric DaCosta next Tuesday at 2 o'clock, One Winning Drive, going to meet with the media. First time for Biscuit since 2000.
Right.
22. So, yeah.
And it is important to keep those separate, like a kind of a year in review plus the decision to fire Harbaugh. But there's really so much more than that. I mean, like you said, it's been however many years since he last talked. So much has happened since then. And it's really not just the coaching search right now that people have questions about with this team. There's a lot of stuff. So I'm glad they're keeping that separate, because if they did it all in one, then most of that press conference would be spent talking about the new guy, right? And rightfully so. And then they'd essentially be hiding from all this other stuff that does need to be addressed.
Yeah. And Steve Bisciotti, if you're a member of the media, which we are, but we're not going to be there. We're going to be here when it starts. But do you ask more of your questions? Are they directed towards Steve or towards Eric? It's got to be Steve Bisciotti. I go to Eric like, what the hell are you thinking with Cooper Rush? And, you know, what's up with the pass rush? What are you looking at? Free agency, Lamar's contract is going to be huge. But Steve Bisciotti, like you said, there's a lot of things. And it's been a while. How much time do you have? Because we got a lot to talk about here.
But then even then, you're like, there's stuff from the past couple of years that you probably want to ask, but you know, there's so much that's pressing right now. I mean, like, does the Tucker thing worthy of a question a year later? Maybe one question.
Well, the loop conversation, which I'm assuming.
Yeah, you could connect that
a little. Yeah, there you go.
But maybe just one on the whole Tucker situation altogether. Because it should have been talked about in the moment. But now that it's a year later and he's not coming back and it's over with, you don't want to waste too many questions on it, because there is other important stuff.
Let's get back to the phones. Go to Tim in Dundalk. Tim, what's happening?
Hey, not much. Happy birthday, Bob. Looking a very young 26 there.
Thank you very much.
I think people are really, we may get a little metaphysical here, but it's based on what's happened on the field with Harbaugh. What Steve Bisciotti sees here is a team that can't get over the hump, can't win the big thing. And this is metastasized into a real thing. It's a metaphysical thing that has turned into a real thing, losing big games. You're not getting over the hump. If you look, you know, all throughout John Harbaugh's tenure, you look even up to when we won the Super Bowl, we can't get over the hump. We can't get to the big game. We can't do it. But luckily we did. But if you look at the stats, you can go on Pro Football Reference, top 50 for each team's losing leads. They go from 7 points up to like 21, I think. Since 2008, John Harbaugh has lost 31 8-plus point leads. Mike Tomlin has lost 8. Mike Tomlin's lost 8, John Harbaugh has lost 31. And since Lamar Jackson has been on the team, and after Ed and Ray, 25 of them have come, 25, with Lamar Jackson getting 16 of these leads and them being lost. So this is a metaphysical monster that has turned into a real thing. That's why John Harbaugh is gone. John Harbaugh is gone. And I think on that stat, like 9 of these games have come against the Steelers, where we've lost 8-point leads. And that's basically a double-digit lead, because you need 10 points to overcome that. Right. So this is a metaphysical monster that's turned into a real thing, and Steve Bisciotti not going to handle that. And we need the next coach doesn't need to be offensive, defensive-minded. He needs to be somebody that can run a game, keep these leads, and win. Get over the hump.
All right, Tim, thank you for the call. Metaphysical, he worked that in 4 times. During the conversation.
Almost as many blown leads.
Yeah, but a lot of these double-digit blown leads, I think in the last 3 or 4 years, double-digit opportunities. How many this year? Buffalo right out of the gate. Sunday against Pittsburgh and others in between. So the point is well taken that they've been unable to close games out. The narrative used to be Lamar couldn't bring you back from a double-digit disadvantage, and he proved that to be false.
Right.
But the defense gacking away opportunities for victory where you're scoring too fast because the other team is going to get the ball and march down the field against your defense. We saw that happen in real time Sunday night.
Well, you know what? As much as we like to mock that way of thinking, and I do think in certain situations, it is pretty humorous. I think that does go to the caller's point. Like, that comes down to head coaching responsibilities, you know, making your team aware of different situations. And hey, this is where we're kind of looking to milk clock. This is where we're looking to help our defense out a little bit. Like it or not, that's the modern NFL.
Sure.
And there are a lot of disadvantages for playing modern defense. Just with penalties getting thrown, you can't grab, you can't do any of this stuff. You know, it's so hard to defend in this pass-happy league now that I honestly, whatever it takes to win the game, I don't care. As goofy as it may seem, especially from where you watch football growing up, I get that. But what gets results? If taking a knee short of the goal line to milk more clock ensures you that we're going to win the game, then yeah, I'm going to do it. I don't care how it looks or how weird it is. The goal is to win games.
You know what masks a lot of deficiencies in your defense? A great pass rush and getting to the quarterback oftentimes, which the Ravens did not do this year, as we've talked about 1,000 times. When we come back, Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, preview the playoffs with him, which starts this weekend. NFL, college playoffs tonight, semifinal game number one, Fiesta Bowl, Miami against Ole Miss. You can hear the game on The Fan.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Bob Hady, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope, other side of the glass. Vinny and Haney. College football playoffs tonight, Miami, Ole Miss. You can hear it on The Fan. NFL playoffs start this weekend. Here to talk about that and more from Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. And I want your flex. He's our buddy and yours. He's Mike Harmon. Mike, what's up?
What's going on? Driving through the middle of no man's land. We just passed Yermo on I-15. Having some fun. And I say, fire them all. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't know where Yermo is, but I'm glad I'm not there. That's all I can say about that one. Before we get
to drag it out with me. No, you'd be in a better place.
I'd be drinking while you're doing all the driving. But here's what's happening, Mike Harmon. You mentioned fire them all. John Harbaugh gets the gate on Tuesday afternoon. Mike McDonald, he gets Cundiff today. Could be some playoff losers this weekend. Could be looking for employment as well. Of the coaching changes that you have seen so far, which one makes the least sense?
The least sense.
Right. One is going, what the hell are they thinking?
You know what? I didn't have that reaction to any of them. And it's funny because I yell fire them all because I think there might still be two or three more in the offing, which is why Harbaugh's beer watching the games this weekend instead of worrying about prepping for an interview. Because there might be, a Buffalo or a Green Bay or something else that finds its way open. Jim Harbaugh said, hey, I'd love to see him. He's got to be the greatest coach I've ever known, blah, blah, blah. Go to the NFC. So, it's one of those. But in all of them, I guess in the end, maybe Miami, just because it seemed like McDaniel was just going to be there. Right? He was talking the other day about how he was going to help pick the new GM. They've got all their candidates lined up, all of these things. So that he's shown the door, either they've already got the guy that they want, and that's just a matter of crossing I's, dotting T's, going through the Rooney Rule, and whatever else. But every other place, it seems to me that there was some logic to it. Even there, you know, in Baltimore, I'm sure you guys have gone and twisted this and turned it every which way until Sunday. At the end, you talk about different voices, what Lamar wants, whatever else. You know, we talk a lot, and guys get blamed. You know, if you lose a lot of close games, at some point you look at the coach and start pointing at him. So as much as we can say this week's game, we can go to Andrews, we can do all of that stuff, the common denominator is this. It's all Harbaugh.
All right. Your Bears made a coaching move last year. They brought in Ben Johnson, who was one of the hot coordinators coming out of Detroit. They've had great success. Now they get their first playoff game, going up against the team that you grew up, for those new to the show. Mike's from Chicago. He is a Bears fan, and he hates Green Bay, and I guess he probably was rooting very hard against Aaron Rodgers Sunday night against the Ravens. Green Bay's limped into the postseason. You mentioned, you know, coaches that could be on the outs, and LaFleur, if Green Bay loses to the Bears, could be that guy. But what about Chicago going into this matchup? Hey, look, Caleb Williams threw for 4,000 yards. Not all that accurate in regards to completion percentage. We almost threw for 4,000 yards. What about Chicago, their chances? Are you like, hey, we're just happy to be here as a Bears fan? Or is there, like, real hope that there could be a deep little January run here?
Hope, wishing, changing, all of those things. Doesn't that win you presidential elections? Come on, that's what we're talking about here. Like the Packers and everything they stand for. Damn cheeseheads, great of all. Look, it's with LaFleur, ever since he sent that kicker on to get Rodgers off the field, you know, and gave the ball back to Tom Brady, he's been a dead man walking as far as I'm concerned. Sort of Damocles may finally fall when this Bears squad, very confident, goes in. They're beat up. The Packers have a lot of injuries, a lot of issues. You look at the quarterback position, they might end up going back to the third-string guy again. So all of that to say, if they lose this game, because it's been a year, not of miracles, but let's call it what it is, a lot of games that they had no business winning. So if you're now playing, and I hate the term house money, but you're now playing the Packers, people just need to go back to 2010. You know what they did? They let them in the damn door, and they went and won the Super Bowl. So kick their asses out.
We've been talking a lot about the ideal landing spots for John Harbaugh, but just with all these coaching changes this week, we've come to the conclusion here that there's two that are just glaringly bad, like a wasteland that I don't think any coach would want to go to, and that's Arizona and Miami, mostly because you looked at those rosters, pretty devoid of talent. They're both probably going to move on from their quarterback and have to eat a good bit of money as well. Really bad situations to walk into, but which of those two do you think would actually be worse, going to Miami or going to Arizona?
Go to Arizona, because you might have found a couple of things in the draft, because they did the all-defense draft this year, but James Conner is now that much older and that much more beat up. Trey Benson hasn't gotten out of the starting block as a running back. McBride's fantastic. Marvin Harrison Jr., the only thing he's got in common with his dad is his name. And Michael Wilson was a nice little find for him, so that's great. But you're also playing in the NFC West, so you've got to try to climb those other three teams. Miami, at least, you still have the Jets that never get out of their own way. We watched New England run through a pretty easy schedule. I'm not going to say they're bad by any stretch. They're just the mirror image of what the Bears are doing in the NFC side of things in terms of taking advantage of what's gotten you there. And then Buffalo is in an interesting spot, right? They lose to Jacksonville. McDermott probably gets fired. And that roster has been held together by Cook and Josh Allen this year, because there's nothing else special on that 53-man unit.
It should be refreshing, I guess, for the average NFL fan, whether your team's in the playoffs or not, that there's going to be a new fresh face representing the AFC. No more Chiefs, no more Patrick Mahomes. But with that in mind, if you're the Bills and you're Josh Allen, is this the best team you've had in recent years? No, it might even be the worst of the Josh Allen era, at least teams that have made the playoffs. But they're kind of out of excuses, right? I mean, no Lamar, no Mahomes, no Burrow. It's all these new unknown teams and new quarterbacks. There's no excuse for them not to get to at least the conference championship game, right?
I like that in theory, except buried in there was the fact that it is the worst team they've assembled during the Josh Allen run, as much as the GM may call into Sports Talk Radio to protest otherwise. I mean, who scares you in that receiving core? I mean, their second leading wide receiver is a guy they deactivated healthy multiple times for being a delinquent. I mean, the other guys are the tight ends, and Khalil Shakir is a nice possession guy, but he doesn't scare you. So it's really just, again, James Cook and Josh Allen. So, I it's opened up because you don't have those other names, but you still have more complete teams that you have to try to run through, Pittsburgh notwithstanding.
All right, last thing for you, Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I want your flex. Where's our upset this weekend in the NFL playoffs? For instance, your Bears are getting a point and a half at home against Green Bay.
Nah, that doesn't count. How about Carolina? No, I'm just kidding. They're going to get smoked.
Yeah.
That's that point. I think you can keep creeping that line out as you will. Let's see. What's the current line on Buffalo Jacksonville as we sit here?
Bills 1.5.
Jacksonville wins the game.
Okay. Based on point spread, that's an upset.
It's a narrow point spread, but you know, just owing to the prior question about the road for Buffalo. I'm trying to think of the others. But the Chargers beating the Patriots would not surprise me at all. Jesse Minter wants a head coaching job, so I think they fly around and create some chaos, and that offense is just good enough and getting healthy enough. Right? They sat everybody down. Herbert got sat down, and away you go.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, driving through Yuma or wherever the hell he is right now.
We're heading towards Vegas, baby, and then on our way to Boise. To Boise, Idaho, just like Harry Chapin sang about in WOLD all those years ago.
Mike Harmon, you lost me. I know who Harry Chapin is. Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, a little boy. Anyway, yeah. Mike, have a great weekend. Enjoy the playoffs. Good luck to your Bears. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, peace and love, guys. I love you. WOLD is about radio, guys.
Oh, I definitely don't want to hear that. All right. He's Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. He's driving to parts unknown, eventually winding up in Boise. I didn't even want to go down that rabbit hole. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse. Inside Access takes over at 2. And we got college football, the playoffs tonight. Semifinal game number 1, Miami against Ole Miss.
Pretty good votes here, but it's kind of more of the same. It'll be a repeat, but it's okay because it's a local flavor, and I know you like them. The Cars.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I love the Cars.
Yeah.
Rick Ocasek from Baltimore. Greg Hawks is from Howard County, the keyboard player. Let's make it happen. No shortage of hits there. Ravens tweeting out here that Vance Joseph has completed his head coaching interview today.
Now, is that... See, because it's virtual only. Like, he was meeting with, I think, the Giants and even another team today. So, I don't know how long and in-depth these things are. I mean... Maybe it's if they like him enough, it would be just a preliminary. You'd probably bring him back. You'd want to meet him in person.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know. I hate to go the Rooney Rule route, but virtual interview this early in the cycle.
2 top 5 defenses in Denver. And when he was the head coach, he had 2 top 10 defenses. But his quarterbacks were Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler, and Case Keenum.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, I mean, look.
They didn't have real fun.
Yeah. So they've got, I don't know how many they put in a submission to request however many guys. I mean, I know it's Kubiak. I know it's Weaver. I know they want to talk to a bunch more. So maybe that's a good question for next Tuesday is, like, how fast do you see this thing moving? Like, I guess it's dependent on other teams, but, you know, are you looking to be the first team that fills the vacancy, or you want to wait a little bit?
And if you're wondering what Nolan's talking about for next Tuesday.
Right.
DaCosta and Steve Bisciotti going to meet with the media at 2:00 mm-hmm. the 13th, which is next Tuesday. And Jonah Schaefer, who we'll talk to tomorrow, tweeted this out. Those linked, and in addition to Vance Joseph, to the Ravens, Brian Flores, Davis Webb, Matt Nagy. Should have asked Mike about Matt because he was the coach of the Bears. And memory serves, I don't think Mike was very fond of him. Clint Kubiak and Weaver, the two guys you just brought up.
Matt Nagy were the one. He was the one that would write BU on his play calling sheet. Like, you're taking up space for a mantra. Right, get some plays in.
Yeah. Anthony Weaver, though, is interesting because he was bypassed for defensive coordinator by the Ravens when Mike McDonald left.
Right.
And he wound up going to Miami. So,
and that,
I would think you'd need some splaining on that one, right?
Intriguing on multiple levels. Intriguing because he was here as DC, got passed up for the opportunity, or passed up for the opportunity for DC, excuse me, and former player.
Right.
And all the narratives that could come out of that, the Ravens going and picking a former player to become their head coach. It's nothing against Weaver. I think if he got the job, it would be worthy in his own right. But we see that story in sports all the time. It's a difficult, tall task when you get a former player to come in and coach that same team.
Yeah, second round pick out of Notre Dame way back when. We have time for a funhouse?
Yes, we do.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
We started the show today with journalism wars, as you called it, or reporting wars. Yeah. What's true? What
psychic
isn't?
Wars.
Rappaport and Schefter disputed claims over Harbaugh losing the locker room. Texter here says losing confidence and losing respect are two different things. I love Harbs, but it was the same thing over and over. Just needed a change of pace to get over the hump.
Yeah,
I think I agree with the first part of that.
And Schefter was saying that he didn't lose the locker room because he mentioned Likely and others who went in flowers, crying and hugging John Harbaugh. But the one guy we haven't heard from is the one that a lot of people want to hear from the most, is Lamar Jackson. Silence in that room.
Well, he's not talking publicly until camp.
What did Jerry say? Can't wait till June to hear from Lamar Jackson.
We also talked about that. You want to hear from Lamar because of the reported disconnect between him and Monken. We were wondering, what does that all stem from? Texter here says, the disconnect should be Monken repeatedly leaving arguably the best running back in the NFL sitting on the bench in the key moments of the game while Lamar was getting his butt kicked behind an O-line that couldn't protect him.
Yeah, I'm listening to that, and I'm hearing that. The New England game was the tip of the iceberg because after that, Derrick Henry got it, 30 sometimes against Green Bay. Got 20 against Pittsburgh. I thought if he got 20 carries, they were going to win against the Steelers. Probably still should have, but we don't want to go down that road again. But yeah, that fourth quarter of the New England game probably was the KO punch in regards to that relationship.
And one last one from Nelly in Abingdon, who says, are we overlooking Stefanski? Haven't heard his name mentioned by any callers today. A two-time coach of the year in 6 years with the Browns, going 11-win season with five different quarterbacks in that debacle of an organization. That's an impressive accomplishment. He can run the offense, hire a strong defensive coordinator, which might be quite a winning formula.
Yeah, we talked about him a little bit yesterday. Pardon me, maybe more in the realm of a coordinator. But is he going to take a step back? He's going to interview with other teams. So Stefanski, that two-time coach of the year does resonate, but when he wasn't winning coach of the year, he was finishing in last place too.
Yeah, it's double-sided coin. I also think he's, I don't know him personally, but personality-wise, it would be more of a boring hire, right? Where we've heard a lot of the reasons people want a Brian Flores today is because of the personality. You know, I think Stefanski would be a little more, plain toast, white bread type thing.
All right. I don't care if they hire Droopy the dog, as long as they get someone that's successful and get game plan and scheme and win playoff games and get deep into January. We'll come back tomorrow. Featured Artist Friday, The Cars, Jonah Schaefer, among others, Keith Cavanaugh. I'll talk terms with him. We've got a lot to get to, so stick around for Mike Pope, Nolan McGraw, and Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next, followed by college football, Miami taking on Ole Miss.